Development Agency Board of Commissioners. Okay, get ready, Mona.
I'll move the minutes to February 23rd.
Thank you. Do we have a second? All right, any opposition? Minutes approved. Board of Commissioner matters. All right.
Actually, I have one.
Sure.
I'm curious about the expiration of the redevelopment agency that's imminent, I believe, later this year, and how that affects the bond payoffs and the tax increment and issues like that. And so I think everything we're going to do on today's agenda makes sense, but I'm a little bit in the dark about the expiration of the agency.
So you could get back to Charles on that?
I can answer that question now.
Good.
The plan is due to expire in 2012, January 1st, 2012.
Okay. 2 years.
The agency is currently has a contract with a consultant who's doing a feasibility analysis of extending it. We have to look at whether blight exists in the project area and whether there's sufficient equity kind of in the bonds and whether we could refinance them, whether it makes sense to finance them. If there's they'll do a financial analysis and a blight analysis to see whether we can meet the statutory requirements for blight and then whether it makes sense financially to extend the plan.
And if we do extend and in the next year and a half that remains, the redevelopment agency collects a little bit of extra funding that I guess the state won a court ruling it has the right to divert up to the state. Is
yeah.
there any local benefit in extending the life of the agency? I assume we pay off the bonds whether the agency sort of expires or not. And so what are, off the top of your head, what is the benefit of extending the agency if in fact the state's basically just gonna pull the funding out of the community? Is there any benefit to us?
The state has took money this year and has proposed to take money again next year. There's litigation right now still around that, and there is a possible, there's something on the ballot that would address the ability of the state to take redevelopment funds. So what kind of what happens with those issues could impact whether the state takes funds from us again. But you know, what we're looking at right now in the feasibility analysis are what are the benefits to the community, to the project area, to extending it. You know, could we, what are the needs in the community? There's some infrastructure needs that could be met. There could be funds that are put into the community center, redevelopment or rehabilitation of that. So we're looking at all of those things. What are the advantages and disadvantages of doing it? There are some statutory requirements that would kick in. For example, the agencies that are affected by the redevelopment agency being extended would be, we'd have to pay them more money than we currently do in order to extend the plan. So there's a bunch of things that we'd have to analyze. We also have to set aside more funds than we currently do for housing. Currently, we're required to set aside 20%, and that requirement would go up to 30%. So it would make more funds available for housing.
So you'll be looking at all of these trade-offs in the consulting analysis.
Right.
As you know, I've been working with the sheriff on interventions that we can take, especially near the freeway, where the community has to go underneath the freeway. That tends to be kind of a target-rich environment for robberies and stuff. And the redevelopment agency is potentially a key player, although if the state extracts all of the saved-up funding that we've been setting aside in the agency, then it sort of defeats the purpose of having such an agency. Although any ability that the agency may have to contribute to that project and or the community center rehab, now that we finally have building consensus in the community, not to try to build a Taj Mahal, but instead to refurbish and renew the Manzanita Community Center, which is a lot more sensible from a fiscal standpoint. I think the agency's existence could be a great help to that effort. If these various
right.
trade-offs make sense.
Right, that's exactly what we're looking into.
Schools have a stake,
right.
too.
Right, right.
Thank
so
you.
We're looking into all this.
Good to know.
Good, okay. Yes.
The state taking the money, is it based on the availability of the money, or is it just a formula?
It's a formula. So some agencies, if an agency is unable to make the payments, they can go to their to the jurisdiction that they're in and request that that jurisdiction make those payments. The agency can pay from whatever source there is on this round. So they could borrow money from their housing fund. They could use whatever funds are available. And as I said, sometimes they've had to go to the local jurisdiction. So in that case, it would be the county and ask for help paying them. But that is not our case. We are able to make the payments this year and next year. But the state didn't say, if you can, pony up, do whatever you can. They said, here's the formula, this is what you owe us.
So it doesn't matter whether the money's available or not, you can pay.
Correct.
Would you look at the one thing, if there's one regional body who seriously considered some point of contracting early projects down the road?
Some agencies can say, you can say we can't pay it right now, and you're able to make a finding that you can't pay it, but you still owe it, and you'll have to pay it in the future, or there are some other repercussions if you don't, the state can do. So there are agencies that made a finding saying we can't pay it, and they showed that they weren't able to do that. So you're correct.
Supervisor McGlashan.
So if I may, I just want to translate a little bit what's going on here in my usual fairly crass terms. So this is a situation where the bully walks up to someone on the playground and shakes him down. And if the victim of the shakedown from the state has the money saved up, they get to disgorge that funding. And that's what's happening to the tax increment in Marin City, of all places. So the state has arrived and defended itself in court, its right to shake down the Marin City Redevelopment Agency. Worse, as Lily just explained, if the victim doesn't have the money in the pocket, they come to the parent, the county, and shake us down. So this is one of the state's little dirty tricks from last year's budget that I find reprehensible. These kinds of accounting games, and the idea that the taxpayers believe that they're putting money into a local redevelopment effort and paying off the bonds that contributed to quality life in that community, and then finding, you know, kind of hidden in the bureaucraties of the state's budget, that money isn't staying in the community. It's paying off the bonds, but anything extra that we were hoping to put into crime interdiction and capital improvements for lighting under the freeway, right now the state's walking off with that money.
What they actually did is have, it didn't go actually back up to the state's general fund. It went to the schools that serve the redevelopment area to meet their Prop 98, I believe it was, obligations. So the state is obligated to pay the schools a certain amount. And so what they did is they made the redevelopment agencies pay a portion of the amount that they had to pay.
Let me just interdict here. That makes it sound like a good thing to do.
It was
the state owes that money out of the general fund to the schools. And so what they're doing is they're ripping off the redevelopment agency because the state isn't willing to charge a oil severance tax, for example. So they rip off the redevelopment agency so that we are left in the position of having a discussion like this where I sound like a guy who wants to be bad to local schools. And this is the kind of cost accounting gimmick that is an outrage to people at the local level who want to pay their property tax for the local schools and their property tax to a redevelopment agency, and the state is shaking people down.
Right. I think that they just structured it like that so that it would hold up in court, and it actually ended up doing it. And I think it was a very, you know, it was a shell game, but they were able to prevail, I think.
Bullies can be smart.
Okay. Open time for public expression. No one here. We have a request to authorize the county administrator to execute an MOU with the Marin Housing. Do we have a second?
Second, I have a
sure.
Couple questions. We've had some challenges in the past with our, you know, some people getting second, third equity mortgages and everything else on some of these units that are being housed under the Housing Authority. Are we confident now that we've addressed all of that so that going forward we won't be seeing those happening in the future?
Yes, I think that, you know, there are some that it hasn't hit us yet, but I don't think that will happen again. And I think part of that is what's happened in the private lending market, is that they are no longer just looking at your house and looking at your address and saying, oh, here's $200,000. You know, you only have $100,000 that you own this house, so here's some really easy money. So since the mortgage market has changed, I think that will protect us. We've also revised our documents to make them stronger. What happened with our program, since we were one of the first inclusionary requirements in the state, we had documents from 1980 on a number of these, and so it was a learning process, and they weren't the strongest, and they have now we have revised them. We've contracted with an outside attorney who has expertise in this, and I think that our documents are a lot clearer and stronger, and that it should protect our houses as we go forward. But that's not to say that there isn't still homes that we're not aware of that are over encumbered. They just haven't hit us yet.
Okay, and then my second and last question is, now that Habitat for Humanity has a presence here in Marin County, how do those types of homes fit in with this program?
I think that they're just another option for folks who are lower income to enter the homeownership market. You know, the Habitat homes, they're working on their third, I believe, so it's not, it's a very small number of homes, but it's just another option for folks.
But does this MOU would cover maintaining those homes as well?
No, the Habitat maintains and monitors its own homes. Okay. So once these are homes that are just through our inclusionary requirements, that come about when multiple units are developed and the county has a requirement that they're
all right. So when a Habitat home is a family's ready to move up or into a different unit and they sell it, Habitat will take care of making sure that that home remains at the below market rate. Okay.
Great. Thank you. Great. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 17E, again, adopt a resolution approving use of redevelopment agency funds for BMR housing services inside and outside the redevelopment project area. Any questions? All right. Do we have a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Authorization agreement with LLP in an amount not to exceed $29,900 for assistance with report preparation and other accounting matters. Okay. Any questions? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
We're going to adjourn as the Marin County Redevelopment Agency Board of Commissioners. Thank you, Lili. Board of Commissioners. Thank you.